unique culture. I really enjoyed being there and seeing part of it. So we're glad to have you guys. Please, Art, come and share what God has laid on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor Randy. I appreciate it. Good morning, all. How are we doing this morning? That song was, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight." That's what we're looking forward to, isn't it? You take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. In this chapter right here, we have the instance of the Lord first preparing his disciples to send them out for the first time on that preaching journey. They went out two by two, the 12 disciples two by two. And so a lot of the chapter here is given up to instructions that would help them as they went out on this specific journey. There were some things that he said they would encounter on this journey, but also some of the things that they would encounter later on other journeys that were there. So this is preparing them for that specific time, but also for times beyond that point when he would be gone and they would be going on other journeys. And lo, I am with you always. Even though he was gone physically up in heaven, yet he was with them as they went out on those other times. I want to begin reading in verse 34 to 39. Our text this evening, or this morning, is verse 39. But beginning in verse 34, Jesus is telling them, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." And three times he uses that, these three things that it says right here: I am worth more than anything and everything else in the whole world. Then we come to our text, verse 39. "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." And it might sound like a little bit of doublespeak right there, right? Finding life, losing life. What's it all talking about right here? Well, that's what I want to talk with you about this morning, because this is an important passage, not just for these disciples as they prepared to go out to preach the gospel for the first time, but it's an important passage for all Christians to understand and to make sure that they're living as Jesus taught right here this morning. So, first of all, finding and losing your life in Jesus' day. I'm going to talk three different parts right here. And the first part is his talking to these disciples, what they should have understood from the things he was telling them that day when he was talking to them. "He that finds his life shall lose it. Seeking your own way in life in neglect or in rebellion of God's ways." If that's true of you, you're going to lose your life. That's what he says right here. Let me emphasize it this way: he who finds his life shall lose it. And I say that with a verse that I'm sure you're very familiar with in Isaiah chapter 53. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." You got that? We've turned everyone to his own way. We follow our own way in life. That's just the common way that things go. That's the natural flesh that would lead us to do those kinds of things. Now, Jesus had a lot of people who came to hear him speak, and some of them were merely curious, heard stories about him, want to see if those stories are true, but others were pretty much serious about wanting to know what God had to say through him. But each of them would have this choice to make. Would they follow along with what God was telling them to do through the words of the Lord Jesus, or would they listen to him, go home, and continue on in their own way? Follow what they want to do rather than putting into practice the things that Jesus told them to do. They would have to make that choice. You might remember that there was that rich young ruler came to Jesus. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you remember what Jesus told him: "Well, sell all your goods, give to the poor, come follow me." And he went away sad. And why? Because he had great possessions, and they were more valuable than really, truly following Jesus. He wasn't going to listen to what Jesus told him to do. He was following in his own way. I forgot to show that one up there. You got it. Okay. Each of these disciples had to answer that question for themselves. Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, all those guys had to answer this for themselves. I don't know if they had in that day what we often hear of today, right? Take care of number one. You got to look out for yourself because nobody else will do it. You got to follow your own pathway in life. You owe it to yourself. That's what we hear today. I don't know if they had that back then, but it's contrary to what Jesus taught his disciples. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll take care of all those other things for you. You seek first my kingdom, my righteousness. Make that the priority. The Apostle Paul wrote a little bit later on, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. God wants us to be looking for his interests, the things that will advance his kingdom in our lives. How we live our daily lives. And we can do that. But we have to look to him and we have to give that priority back to him. Well, he that loses his life for my sake, Jesus says, he shall find it. That means giving up your desires to follow in God's ways. No longer my desires in life, the things that I have mapped out for myself that I want to accomplish in life, I give it up. I don't know what God will have for me, but I'm giving that up because I trust that God will bring what is better in his view, what is better, what is going to be eternally more valuable than what I might choose for myself in life. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that these disciples would have to become monks and pray and read the Bible 24 hours a day. He wasn't asking them to do that. But it was giving up the rights of their life into his hands. Saying, okay, whatever you want for me, then I will accept that and follow through with that. They were to come under God's management, voluntarily giving up the rights of their life to God, for him to do what he wanted. And they understood then that, well, God had the right to take it all away. These things that I've been doing in my life, God has the rights to take it away. My material goods, my health, my family. God has the rights to my life. Their concerns beyond this point were no longer the physical, the material. Their concerns were what will advance God's kingdom. And God knows best. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. God knows the future. God knows all the way down throughout all of history what's going to happen. That's why we can trust him. We don't know the future. We don't know tomorrow, but God does. And God has a good plan for our lives, and sometimes that good plan for our lives means that he takes something away from us. And we sometimes may not know why he takes it away from us. But no sacrifice given in the name of the Lord will ever go unrewarded. God knows what he's doing with our lives, just as he knew what he was planning for these disciples. These disciples would lose their former lives, if you want to call it that. They would lose their former lives, whether they were a fisherman or tax collector, whatever they might be, their former lives, for what God envisioned they would become. I want you to think about that. God knew what these men could do. They didn't. God knows what you can do. With a heart that is fully, fully surrendered to him, God has things that he can do with you. He wants to do with you, and he wants you to trust him and leave it in his hands to work out. Well, the scriptures tell us that these disciples were willing to forsake all and follow him. And we can imagine what some of that might be like for them. I mean, if you think about Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they were the four fishermen. We know at least those four were fishermen, right? Okay. They grew up saying, okay, when grow up, I'm going to do what my daddy does. He's a fisherman. And they, from very young, they began doing the fisherman kind of stuff, and they planned to do that. And that was a life that they became comfortable with. I know what it'll mean. I know what it'll cost me. I know what I can do. They became comfortable with that, what they knew. And they had to give it up. Okay, so I'm leaving daddy and the fish behind. And I don't exactly know what will happen beyond this point. But I trust Jesus. They had been with him long enough, heard the things that he was preaching on, seen the miracles that he did, recognized God is with this man. I want to be with him too, to get closer to God. Okay, to know all of that, they were willing to put that former life behind them for something that was unpredictable. They didn't know what would happen. In our text right here, verse 35 says, expect some opposition. It's not all going to be wonderful as you go out and be following me. There will be some hard things that will come along in this. But there would be the blessings that come from following me. And that's what he had for them. And again, sometimes just think about these disciples at this point. Forsake all and follow me. Give it up. Our text says, he that findeth his life, the one that is seeking for his own way in life, shall lose it. And he that loseth his life, gives up the rights of his life, says, okay, it's in your hands, God. I guess I don't care anymore about that. It's in your hands. You do with me, you do with my life, you do with the things around me as you see fit. I'll put it in your hands and walk beyond that point. Think about these disciples at that point, and we know what they became. Again, God could see the potential. They couldn't. God can see our potential. We can't. God knows what he can do with us. So, our text, he who finds his life shall lose it, he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I want to take this text in the second main point here and just kind of loosely apply it to our church there in Invercargill. We have a number of internationals that are coming to our church. Back when Pastor Randy and Bob Russ came down to visit us in 2008, it was mostly a white church. Now we have a lot of internationals that are coming to our church. And about 10 years ago, there's a Southern Institute of Technology, the local polytechnic school in town, and they began actively recruiting students from around the world to come study in New Zealand, stay in New Zealand. New Zealand has a clean, green image. Some of you have seen some of the movies and stuff from New Zealand. It's a very beautiful place. So people from all over the world want to come to New Zealand to live, and so they recruited people from all over the world to come. And so I think I read somewhere that there's like 30 different nationalities represented in the Southern Institute of Technology in our church. We have seen students come from all the yellow places right there. Those are Korea and Japan and China and Vietnam and India and Indonesia. Okay, we've also had some come from, just immigrate to New Zealand from other places around the world, like South Africa and Brazil and Philippines and the Ukraine. We actually have a couple that started coming to our church about a year ago from Ukraine. So we have people coming from all over the world coming here. What I want you to see here is that these people are willing to give up a life that they're familiar with for something that they don't know how it's going to end up. And for some of those that have come through New Zealand to study at the Institute of Technology, or some that have come immigrated to New Zealand, and some of them it doesn't work out, and they head back home. We've seen that happen sometimes. But for many of them, they come and they stay and all that. But that idea of giving up something that they're familiar with, something they know that they can do and all that, to give that up, to come to a new country, for many of them, it's learning a new language. Not certain if they'll be able to get a job beyond that point. They're just not certain about any of those things, but they're willing to do it. And that's, like I say, it's kind of loosely applied to, it's not the spiritual side, it's just on the other side. But you recognize the kind of spirit that is in these people to be willing to do that. our responsibility is when we come to when they come to our church is to be able to show them the Word of God. Some of them are saved, some of them are not saved. Some of them do come from Christian backgrounds, but some of them not. We want them to know Christ. We want them to put Christ first in their life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we know that many of them will not stay in Invercargill. Invercargill is a city of about 50,000 people. But Christ Church in Wellington and Auckland, those are the bigger cities that have more opportunities for employment. And so some of those people have gone on to other places. But we have them for a bit. And we're thankful for that. And we're grateful to be able to invest in their lives while they're coming to our church for that little bit. So that's one point. Finding and losing your life during COVID. I don't know how COVID affected you guys here, but you know, Pastor Randy said you had a couple of weeks when you didn't have any meetings. We had about 7 weeks when we couldn't meet. Then the first time we could meet, only 10 people. And that's the left side over there. So we invited our older people because we figured they're the ones that are more isolated than other people. So we had them come. We had a time when we could have a vaccination pass, you'd come to one service. If you didn't have a vaccination pass, you'd come to another service. We went to different things like that. Mostly, life in New Zealand was pretty much normal. In fact, during all of those times when there were a lot of restrictions in many other places, on the South Island, there were no community transmission cases for over 300 days. But we still had some restrictions and things like that because we have a government that kind of wants to have those restrictions, I guess you might say. So anyway, but we made it through all that COVID stuff, and we're thankful for that. In July last year, they began opening the borders for the first time to tourists. And tourism is one of the largest income things there in New Zealand, so they're good to do that. We're grateful because that allowed us to invite someone to come fill in for us, Pastor Jerry Buchanan and his wife, Debbie. They were our pastor at home church there in Montana. So they came over and filled in for us for 4 months. We have some other people filling in for us right now. But anyway, with all that. Now, COVID did a lot of bad things. I understand that. But there were some good things from COVID, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. If you get nothing else from COVID, it did this. Back in 2017, our government said, we invite people to come to immigrate to New Zealand, work for no more than 5 years, and you can leave. Take you for a while, and you can leave. Well, and some of these families came before that time, and they had, well, we can work here for a while, but then I guess we'll have to leave. COVID kept a lot of people out, but it also kept some people in. And these were families that stayed in. Most of them are working on dairy farms. And if they would have left, it would have left the farmers high and dry. And so these are families that at the end of COVID, the government said, well, because you people have stayed here all this time, we're going to give you a special pathway to residency. So all these families have gotten residency. This was before we left. Another family's gotten residency after we left. And so we're so grateful that COVID did something good. Okay, there's a lot of bad out there, but we can rejoice that COVID did this good. And we're rejoicing that these families now have residency. They can stay long-term in New Zealand and continue in our church. Spiritual gaining and losing. Seems like any church goes through the ebb and flow of ups and downs of attendance and spiritual fervor, I guess you might say. I'm not sure. It's just one of those things of nature. It kind of goes that way. And you kind of see that, especially in our mobile societies, people come and go and all that. And we recognize that when people were coming to the Southern Institute of Technology and coming to our church while they're going there, that they probably wouldn't stay. And that's just one of the things that we do. This is one of the men that came from China. His name is Shane Wen. Came, never been in a church service before he came to our church. A friend brought him to our church. Of course, our background in Taiwan, we spoke Taiwanese in Taiwan, whereas he speaks Mandarin, but I can read the characters and all of that. So we had a good time getting to know Shane a little bit better and came to lead him to the Lord, also to baptize him, as you see right here. Not long after that, he got a job offer up in Wellington. We were able to introduce him to a sister church up there. He was able to go up there, and he's attending that church now and following through with that. So we thank the Lord. Again, we recognize with some of these people that we have them for a short period of time. We're not sure. They may be here 1 year or 2 years, but we want to build into their lives while we have them. They may move on. That's fine. We want them to find God's will for them. So this is one of the men that did that. We've been encouraged in the ups and downs of ministry as well to see. Well, in the past 2 years, we've had some of the best attendance in our Discovery Club. That's our kids' club, sort of like your master's club, and also our youth group. And also, we'll share more about that this evening. We've seen more salvation decisions in those two groups this past year. And so do plan to come back this evening if you can do that to hear more about our ministry up there. I want to just leave that at that point right there. Oh, yeah, that's the youth group right there. Five of them got saved at camp. Well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, okay? Finding and losing your life right here in West Richland, or you might come from Kennewick, Pasco, or wherever around here, right today, okay? Like I said, when Jesus told the disciples this text here in Matthew 10:39, it is something that wasn't just meant for them that day. Our text says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." That is something God wants you to master, to wrestle with maybe. Maybe it's a wrestling match. I don't know. I trust not. But he's the Lord. And he's the one that wants that ability to control your life with your permission. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God wants us to do that. This text is for you and for me, still for me, sorry, it's for me every day. Finding your life, losing your life. God's will for every believer is that we lose our lives for his sake. To lose your life for his sake means to give up the rights to your life. Put yourself under God's management. Give to him whatever, allow him to do whatever with your life that he wants to. And recognize that if you're basically trying to do what's right before God, that your life as it is right now has been arranged by God, and he wants you to live right now in the arrangement that he's put there, with peace and contentment. My life, as God has arranged it, I can be happy with it. That means you don't grizzle about having health issues, or you don't grizzle about not having enough money, or you don't grizzle about this person who's doing that to you or that person. Okay, you don't grizzle. Okay, my life, as God has arranged it, it's for me to live to the glory of God in this situation. He wants me to live in this situation for his glory. To illustrate that, let's just go back about 2,000 years, whether it's a Roman household or a Jewish household, whatever it may be. Go back about that time. They had large households, and there was a master of the household and a servants that are out there. And for the sake of argument, I'll be the master, okay? And I need some servants. And I need someone to be a butler. And Brother Jerry, you'd be a good butler. We'll put you a good butler coat on there, and you can stand at the door and welcome everybody that comes, okay? But I also need somebody to clean the toilets. Pastor Caleb? Oh, you're raising your hand. You'll do that? Okay. There are all sorts of jobs in a household, jobs that need to be done. The master chooses who does what job. You don't get to choose whether you want to clean the toilets or whether you get to be the butler wearing the nice fancy suit at the open door. You don't choose. The master chooses. And again, your life situation, if you're basically trying to follow God and do the right thing, your life situation as God has arranged it with the difficulties that are in there have been arranged by God for you to live to his glory in that situation. There will be tough things in it. There will be. Expect it. But all God wants you to do is what I say, just living fully Christian in your situation. Oh, missing one here. Yeah, fully Christian. What I mean by that is we have an instruction book here, right? And there's a lot that it says in here about, well, I mean, you know, the do not kill, do not lie, do not steal. You know those kinds of things. Those are the easy things. Then there's things about, we were talking this morning about speech in our Sunday school class, and it's so easy just to speak like a fool without thought. Just say whatever comes to your mind and just spit it out there, okay? Too much of that. The Bible talks a lot about our actions, our reactions when we're put into various kinds of situations. How am I going to react to that situation? The Bible tells us, there's a lot in here. God wants us to be fully Christian in the situation where he puts us. And what that means is we need to know the instructions. We need to know what God wants us to do. God has given us this full instruction manual so that we can please him fully in the situation where he has placed us. We can honor him, glorify him by our right responses, the way in which we respond to the things around us. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I think he woke up each morning, whether it was in a dungeon or whether it was in Epaphroditus' home with a nice thing around him. I'm here today to do what God wants me to do. I give up the rights to my life. Lord, as you lead me throughout the day, may I accomplish what you want me to accomplish. And that's the kind of attitude that God wants us to have every day. I die daily. I give up the rights to my life daily. I'm ready to do whatever God would have me to do every day. If you are pursuing the things that you want, you're going to end up the loser. There is a verse in Psalm 106, verse 15, talking about the Jews. They were wandering through the wilderness. You might remember that story, and they kind of missed the garlic, the leeks, and the onions down in Egypt. Oh, we wish we had all that good stuff down there. And they said, give us food. And this text in Psalm 106, 15 says, he gave them their request. I want the food. But sent leanness to their souls. Sometimes when we're pursuing the things that we want in life, God will give them to us, allow us to have them, but not allow us to have the satisfaction of having them. It doesn't really satisfy. The only thing that can really satisfy is in doing and following the will of God. And so we might have the things around us that we want, but it won't satisfy you. I've been to a couple of funerals in New Zealand of unsaved people. I've heard this song, I think, three times. Forgive my singing, but you'll recognize the song when I get to it. I did it my way. Okay, however that goes. Like, I don't know who sang that, but anyway. And sadly, that is true. They pursued their own way in life. And for those funerals that I was at, those people were in hell. Their souls were already in torment because they did it their way. God doesn't want us to do it our way. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake, that's when you find the life that God envisioned you to have. The thing that he really uniquely prepared for you to have. His life. In this life. This verse says, the rich man will fade away in his pursuits. A lot of rich men out there, they're going to fade away. Be here for a bit, going to be gone, and that's the end. Well, there's the eternal part out there, and we know where they go, sadly. Finding and losing. Every one of us today, in the choices that we make, are either finding or losing. Finding our own life, the things that I want in life, losing. Okay, so yeah, these couple of questions up here. What are we seeking to find? What do we really want? What do we really want? Whether we're a young person, whether an old person, what are we pursuing? What captures our heart that then helps us aim at what we want to achieve in life? What are we willing to give up? These are questions that I can't answer for you. These are questions you have to think about before God. You know, God is right here, right? I mean, he's not just up there, he's right here. And in your heart right now, he's searching your heart. What are you searching for? What are you wanting? What are you wanting to accomplish? Our text says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake, that person will find the life that I intended him to have. And the life that God intends for you to have is much better than anything that you could envision for yourself. Again, think back to those disciples. They could have been a nameless fisherman in the annals of history, but they became Peter and James and John because they were willing to forsake all and follow him. And that's what God wants us to do. Be willing to forsake all and follow him. The changes that came into their lives as they made that choice to forsake all and follow him were pretty drastic. They left their jobs behind and everything else. And that may not be what God has for you to give up your job and all of it. It may not be all of that. He simply wants the rights of your life to do with you what he wants. And probably much will stay the same. But if you die daily to his will, he will guide you in your life, bring things into your life that you never imagined, and use you as you could never have imagined because you have given your life to him. He wants you to do that. It was missionary Jim Elliot who said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. How many of you know who Jim Elliot is? How many of you do not know who Jim Elliot is? Okay. A few may not know. They were Jim Elliot and four other friends went down to Ecuador back in the 1950s and some of them before that, and died as a martyr there. This past week, I read Nate Saint's story. He was the guy that flew the airplane. Nate Saint, in the book that I read, he quoted our text here. He said, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he says, to find your life, that means to selfishly follow your own things. Finding your life is selfishly. That's Nate Saint's words. He's Jim Elliot. Good guys. The sacrifices that these five men made to bring the gospel to that Indian tribe, just amazing. The greater sacrifice was Jesus. We sang about that a little bit earlier. He left the glories of heaven because we're sinners and we don't deserve it. And he knew that. But he was willing to do that, to leave the glories of heaven, to come down to die on that cross, to provide our salvation. And all he asks is, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give it back to me. Let me do with your life what I gave it for. But you have to give it to him. And I don't know if you've done that before, if you have consciously given your life as a living sacrifice, whether you're older or younger, it doesn't matter. If you've never done that before, I encourage you this morning, do it now, knowing the sacrifice that he went through to bring you your salvation. You need to do that. If you haven't done it, do it this morning. And if you have done it and kind of got away from it, get back to it. He that findeth his life, if you're pursuing the things that you want in this life, going to lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, he shall find it. You really, really want to have the life that God prepared you for. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this text that we've been looking at this morning. And Father, it's a challenge. But I pray, Father, if there are some this morning who have never made that conscious decision to put their life into your hands for whatever you may have for them, that they would do that. And again, Father, we're reminded of the sacrifice that you did for us, willing to send your Son, our Savior, that while on the cross, to be forsaken from him, because of that sin barrier that he bore. I thank you, Father, that you are willing to endure that kind of thing that we might have our salvation. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.